In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen.
Congratulations on getting 1 hour of extra sleep. As you just heard, the miracle of raising the son of the widow was just read to us. And you know that there are 3 recorded miracles in which the Lord raised people from the dead. Does anyone remember what the 3 are? So one is today, as we heard, raising the son of the widow in Nain. Are there any other miracles that the Lord raised from the dead? Of course, you all know Lazarus. And then there's one more, the daughter of Jairus. So the 3 miracles of raising from the dead, the physical death does not concern us as much as, of course, our spiritual death. And spiritual death means what? Physical death is when our spirit separates from our body. What is spiritual death? Spiritual death is when we separate ourselves from God. We only live through God, so when we are separate from God, we're dead. So spiritual death is through sin. So we could say that these 3 individuals whom the Lord raised, we don't call them sinners, but they give us examples to take a spiritual meaning of different stages of sin. The most severe stage, of course, is if we are in the tomb for 4 days like Lazarus was. And again, I have to emphasize, we are not saying Lazarus is a sinner. Lazarus, as you probably know, became a bishop and preached and was very close to the Lord. So we're not saying Lazarus is a sinner, but we're saying the death of Lazarus, we could take a spiritual meaning as if someone is dead for 4 days. We said the physical death is not a big concern for us, but the spiritual one is. So someone who's spiritually dead and buried in the tomb to the point that their body's starting to corrupt, this is the worst stage of sin. The story we just heard read to us about the son of the widow of Nain is another stage of sin, but in this case, he has not yet been taken to be buried. Lazarus, as you know, he was wrapped in the funeral clothes and he was buried for 4 days. This young man was just at the point of he had died and was being taken in the funeral procession. And then previously you heard of the miracle of raising of the daughter of Jairus. And the daughter of Jairus was just at the point of death. So whether I have just fallen into sin or whether sin has caused me to die and there's no hope for me, so they're taking me to be buried, or whether sin has caused me to be buried in the tomb and I am enslaved by sin, I am wrapped, I cannot move, and the body, and in this case, the meaning is spiritually, my spirit is beginning to fall apart and to corrupt. In each of those cases, as you know, the Lord is able, as he rose from the bodies from physical death, is able to raise us from any point of spiritual death and give us forgiveness of our sins and take us back into his arms. So that's the first point we wanted to focus on, is no matter how bad my state is, no matter how badly I have fallen from grace, the Lord is able to take me back if I come back to him. The second point we want to talk about is the authority of the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ in this miracle, as you know, obviously shows his authority over what? Over death. He gave life back to the young man who had just died. What else does the Lord have authority over? What did we hear about last week? There was a man who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and the Lord healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. So the Lord has authority over death, and he has authority over evil spirits to cast them out. And of course, when the evil spirit is cast out, the man is returned back to his sanity. We could say he was insane and his mind comes back, his speech comes back, his sight comes back. If he was deaf, he was granted hearing. So the Lord has authority over death, over casting out evil spirits. What else? Healing. The Lord has authority over diseases. What else? Nature. Excellent. The Lord has authority over nature. He can command the winds and the storm to stop. He could say, peace, be still, and they obey him. What else? Remember the man who was born blind? The Lord created eyes for him, so the Lord has the authority to create. And also in the miracle of the five loaves and the two fish, it's called the miracle of multiplicity, because we know if we study physics, you can't create matter or destroy matter, but the Lord can. The Lord can take the five loaves and multiply them so that they could feed the multitudes. So the Lord is very has power over everything in my life. Not that he wants to control me, because he does not take away my free will. He has authority over everything, but he has given me the gift of free will. So it is comforting to know that the Lord is in charge. As the Greek word pantokrator, he is in control of everything. So I can rest at ease knowing that I have a loving Lord, but not just a loving Lord who is not able. He is the most powerful Lord of all. Not only that, but you heard in the Synaxar, one of the apostles of the Lord, Saint Timon, who was also one of the first seven deacons, the Lord gave him, as you may have noticed, the gift of what? Of healing, right? So the Lord, who has all this power, can also give that power to his disciples and to all of you, his saints. He can give different gifts. Saint Peter, for those who read last night's Vespers Gospel, the Lord walked on water, and what did he give Saint Peter the gift to do? To walk on water. Saint Peter, in today's Gospel, you heard the Lord raised someone from the dead. Saint Peter also was given the gift to be able to raise someone from the dead. As you heard about a month ago, there was this wonderful lady named Tabitha, and she was taking care of all the widows and sewing clothes for them. And when she passed on, they sent to St. Peter, who was close by, saying, can you come and raise her from the dead? And he did. So the gifts of the Lord, he's not keeping them to himself, but you are all granted different gifts to different degrees. You might say, I haven't seen anyone raise anyone from the dead here. Well, when Abuna works with someone to turn them back to the Lord, he is not raising them from physical death. He's raising them from a more dangerous state of death, which is, as we said at the beginning, spiritual death or separation from God. And not only Abuna, but all those who are in the service and those who are not literally in a Sunday school service but are in the Lord's house, we're all responsible not only to wake up ourselves so that we don't spiritually die, but to bring our beloved ones, our children, our parents, our friends, and those around us to the Lord. We want to quickly read last night's Vespers Gospel, and then we'll contemplate on some of the forefathers' meditations about last night's reading. I'll read it to you quickly. From St. Matthew, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. That's where the reading starts. But what happened just before this? Does anyone know? Yes, excellent. Feeding the multitude. Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And he had just finished the miracle of feeding the multitudes. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. And glory be to God forever. Amen. We just want to take five quick points from last night's reading that we can benefit from the sayings of the church forefathers. First of all, the first point is before even the reading, we see that Jesus feeds. Jesus gives. He gave to the multitude a spiritual blessing. He fed them spiritually with a sermon, and then he literally fed them physically with the five loaves. He also feeds us, God willing, we will all partake of his own body and blood in the communion. So our Lord feeds us. He takes care of all our needs, and he knows my needs and your needs, and we all have different needs at different times. The Lord feeds. But not only he feeds, after he fed the multitude and he sent his disciples to go by boat, what did the Lord do? He prayed. He went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer. And we'll hear what Saint John Chrysostom contemplates about the Lord's doing. He says, "For what purpose does he go into the hills or the mountains to teach us that solitude and seclusion are good when we are to pray to God? With this in mind, you see, we find him continually withdrawing into the wilderness. There, he often spends the whole night in prayer. This teaches us earnestly to seek quiet time in our prayers as we can afford the time. For the wilderness is the mother of silence. It is a calm and harbor delivering us from all turmoils," says St. John Chrysostom. So whether we are busy leading a life where we have a lot of work on our plate or a lot of studies or a lot of other business to take care of in our day-to-day life, it is important that we find quiet time to sit at the Lord's feet. The Lord feeds us of the loaves. The Lord feeds us spiritually through his word, his life-giving word. The Lord feeds us of himself, and the Lord feeds us through our prayer and teaching us to pray to him. The second point, the first point was that the Lord feeds. The second point we can learn is that the Lord comforts. You hear that when the disciples were struggling in the fourth watch, and then they saw him coming to them, and they got scared. We hear immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And we're used to hearing this word immediately in St. Mark's Gospel. It's full of, packed with events, and you hear immediately, immediately. Here this is St. Matthew using the word, "Immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Again, let's hear, if you don't want them to be afraid, Lord, why did you wait till the fourth watch? The fourth watch of the night is like between 3 in the morning and 6 in the morning. They divide the night into four watches. Say the first watch is from 6 in the evening till 9 p.m., then from 9 p.m. till midnight is the second watch, then midnight to 3 a.m., third watch. So here, why did you wait so long to save them? St. John Chrysostom writes, "The disciples are tossed on the waves again." Does anyone know why St. John is saying again? Because if you read a few chapters ago in St. Matthew, there's another event where the boat was being tossed and turned. But that time, the Lord was with them in the boat, but as it were, sleeping on a pillow. But let's go back to what St. John says. The disciples are tossed on the waves again. They are in a storm fully as bad as the previous one. Gently and by degrees, he excites and urges the disciples on toward greater responsiveness. So he's at work. Sometimes you have what are called objectives. You need to do this, this, and this in the year. And then they see that someone's very good at what they're doing. So they give them what are called stretch objectives. They want to push further to see, since you're doing so good, maybe we can give you more responsibility. Or in soccer or any sport, they see someone who's progressing well. Then they put him on a team with people who are not as skillful as them, so that he needs to carry more because perhaps he was not carrying the ball or what have you. So here the Lord is giving them a stretch objective. He urges them forward, even to the point of bearing all things normally. Whereas in the previous storm, the Lord was with them on the ship. Now they're alone by themselves. Even when he was asleep in the boat in the previous situation, he was ready to give them relief from danger. But now, as it were, he was absent to them. Now there's a greater degree of challenge. Now he is not even present. He has departed. In the midst of the sea, he permits a storm to rise. This was all for, and St. John's going to give us five reasons, this was all for their training, that they might not look for some easy hope of preservation from an earthly source. He then allows them to be tossed by the storm all night, and this had the purpose of awakening their stony hearts in a most complete way. Sometimes we run into problems and we're wondering, why did this happen or that happen? But maybe the root cause is the Lord wants to shake me and my heart has gotten dusty, or my heart has gotten crusty, or my heart has become stone. So he needs the more stony my heart, the more I need to shake it to break the stone. So the first reason was their training. The second was to awaken their stony heart. Then St. John Chrysostom continues saying, this is how Jesus dealt with their nature of fear. So he is helping them overcome their fear by teaching them to have faith in him, even when they don't physically see him. You don't physically see the Lord. Maybe some of you have been blessed with an apparition, but normally we don't see the Lord physically. Of course, we see physically in communion, but we don't see him as the disciples did back then. So in order for us and for them after his ascension to still have faith, he needs to show them that he is the Almighty who is able to save even when they don't physically see him. Deal with the nature of their fear, which the rough weather and the timing had produced. He cast them directly into a situation in which they would have, here's the fourth reason, a greater longing for him. And now here's the fifth reason, a continual remembrance of him. So he's telling us that he did this so that they can get rid of their fear, have greater longing for him, have a continual remembrance of him, and so that he can awaken their stony hearts and teach them, bring them into a deeper level of faith. We also have a contemplation from one of the early forefathers, St. Chromatius, who wants to remind us that the Lord's walking on the water was foretold in Old Testament prophecies. And we mentioned this last night, so for those who were with us, please bear with it. It may be repetitive or a review, but Job the righteous, for example, says, "Who also stretched out the heavens and walked on the sea." This is Job chapter 9. David the psalmist writes, "Gird your way through the sea, your path through the great waters," in Psalm 77. Also Solomon the prophet in Sirach and Habakkuk writes about the Lord's walking on the sea. St. Chromatius also notes a spiritual meaning of the fourth watch. We said they divide the night into four watches, the first starting at 6 p.m., then 9 p.m., then midnight, then 3 a.m., ending at 6 a.m. He says you could think of, for humanity now, that the first watch of the night being this present world, because our day will be in the Lord's second coming. So we're in the night now, but the first watch of the night was from Adam to Noah. The second watch from Noah till Moses when we received the law. The third watch of the night was from Moses to the first coming of the Lord, or the incarnation of our Lord and Savior. And the forefathers say that even in those first three watches, again, when the Lord was not physically seen by us here, he still was looking after our protection through his angels and saints. For example, in the first watch, we see him with Abel, Seth, Enoch, Methuselah, and Noah. In the second watch, with Abraham, Melchizedek, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And in the third watch, with Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and all the prophets and the righteous of the Old Testament. And then the fourth watch marks the time when the Lord himself came in the flesh and was incarnate and walked among us. And he comforts us and says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is what he says at the very last part of the very last chapter of St. Matthew. Before he goes, he says, you might not see me physically, but remain comforted. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And as he said in today's reading, he comforts us saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. So the Lord feeds. The Lord comforts. And the Lord also comforts us and says, in the world you will have tribulation. That doesn't sound very comforting, but it is if you continue. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He is honest enough and clear and transparent to tell us you will have problems in the world, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And this brings us to the next point, that the Lord who feeds us and the Lord who comforts us, the Lord also commands us, as he did with St. Peter, and St. Peter willingly actually was seeking to be led and commanded by the Lord. The Lord commands St. Peter to come, walk on the water, and St. Peter walks on the water. And the Lord commands each of us to walk on the waters of this world and the troubles of this world, but not to drown into the affairs of this world. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, says the Lord. I have overcome the world. Now, if my eyes are focused on the Lord, then the Lord who overcome the world will lead me and I'll be fine. But like St. Peter, if I get distracted and look around and focus on the troubles, then I can, like St. Peter, be at the point of peril or drowning. If my eyes are directed to him who created me, created the water, then I can stay focused on him and I'll be fine. If my senses remain tuned into him, my thoughts are with him, my desires to be with him, then I can hear his voice, discern his voice, listen to his voice, obey his commandments, and follow him. He says, walk on water, okay. He says, this is my body and blood, eat of it and you will live, okay. He says, forgive your brother even if he sins against you 77 times, seven times, okay. He says, it is more blessed to give than to receive, I obey. He says to pray without ceasing, okay. Jesus commands, I obey and say, okay. And when the times are good, I obey his commandments. But when the times are rough, I need to make more of an effort to also obey his commandments in the midst of the sea. The Lord feeds, the Lord comforts, the Lord commands and is in command. And there's a very famous saying, you may have heard it, when you run into a problem, it says, don't tell God how big your problem is. Tell your problem that you have a big God. Don't tell God you have a big problem. Instead, tell your problem how big your God is. The Lord is in command. The Lord also saves, as you saw St. Peter when he took his eyes off the Lord, began to sink. But he still, even in his fear, had faith in the Lord and asked the Lord to save him. And through faith in the Lord, he was saved. And it says, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. St. John Chrysostom has a very subtle observation about what happened here with St. Peter. And we asked last night, so if you were here, don't answer. We'll see if you can catch this subtlety. What was more dangerous in this situation to St. Peter? The water or the wind? Who thinks wind? Who thinks water? Okay. According to St. John Chrysostom, and I tend to agree, he says the water could kill you. The water could drown you. It was deep sea. They were about 5 or 6 kilometers away from the shore. So the water presents more peril. But listen to what St. John says. The sea was the greater threat. The wind was less. But as St. Peter was struggling with the sea, he was on the point of suffering more anxiety from the wind's violence. And such is human nature that we often feel exposed to a lesser danger, but experience as if it were no worry with the greater danger. And just to give an example to bring this home, often as parents, we spend a lot of effort on our children's health, their prosperity, their education, bringing them up so that they are perhaps in society, married or what have you. And that's good and that's necessary. But sometimes we lose sight of the greater danger, which is the spiritual side of things. So it's not wise from me as a dad to take care of my son and daughter so that they're best in society but are far from God. The greater danger is the spiritual evil that is around us that we need to protect them against. So St. Peter here was walking on the water, and through faith in the Lord, he had dealt with that, but he lost focus of the situation and was worried about the wind. This is St. John Chrysostom's subtle observation. Of course, the Lord saves him and saves each one of us, but we have to do like St. Peter did and cry out to the Lord saying, Lord, save me. And finally, at the very end of last night's reading, we heard that the Lord who feeds, the Lord who comforts, the Lord who commands, the Lord who saves, of course, the Lord also heals. And they brought to him many who were sick, and as many as touched the hem of his garment were made perfectly well. And this touching the hem of his garment, they learned from the woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years. She tried to privately touch just the hem of his garment, and as soon as she touched, she was healed. And now we see all the multitudes follow her wonderful example and also seek to touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touch were made perfectly well. So the lesson that the Lord wants to deliver to me and each one of us is that we need to have faith in the Lord. As you all said, the Lord has authority over life and death, over casting out evil spirits, over bringing someone back to life who was dead, over healing, over nature, over creation. So if you know you have a powerful Lord and you know you have a loving Lord, you know that He alone could feed you your needs at the right time. You know that He can comfort you at all times, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. But you also know that He is in control, and when He commands you, you need to keep your eyes on Him so that you are able to obey His commandment. And you know that you have faith that as soon as you fall, but if you cry out to Him, He will immediately stretch out His hand to save. And you know that touching the hem of His garment in faith will make us all perfectly well. Glory be to God forever. Amen.
Irini pa si etobnema.